Luke chapter 24, let's stand out of respect for God's word. Luke chapter 24, I draw your attention to Luke chapter 24, and I'd like to notice what the Bible says in Luke 24 and verse number 31. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through this passage of Scripture. And Lord, anybody here that is not right now in these few verses, I pray that you'd bring them to these few verses. Anybody in their heart and mind that's not convinced, I pray that you'd convince them today. And Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach to you for a few moments on the subject, the 7-mile hike that changed confusion to conviction. The 7-mile hike that changed confusion to conviction. Now, Jesus Christ has already died. He was buried. His body was laid in the tomb. And let me emphasize, it was his body that was laid in the tomb. Don't get the notion or get the conclusion that Jesus was sleeping, that he was in the tomb for 3 days. His body was in the tomb. Jesus was busy. After he died on the cross, he would descend down into the lower parts of the earth, and he would preach a message of victory and conquest over the demons of hell that tried to destroy and pervert his seed in Genesis chapter 6. He would preach to those that were in captivity and let them know that the devil had tried to defeat him, and in fact, he won. He would wag the keys of death and hell in their face. While Jesus' body was in the grave, he was down there leading captivity captive, if you will, on a victory march. And even those that were in paradise, he told the thief on the cross who believed on him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Not 3 days from now, not after I ascend, not after I rise, not after I've been witnessed by the apostles, not after I ascend and sit on the right hand of God, but today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He went down and he preached the message of conquest to those demons in hell. He preached a message of hope to those Old Testament saints and even those that had died trusting Christ while Jesus was still on this earth. He preached and led those captivity captive, and the Bible says that some of them were seen in Jerusalem. And, of course, that was just a little stop on their way all the way to the glory. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Scripture tells us that he was down in the lower parts of the earth. His body was in the grave. But Jesus was very much alive. Let me say, he wasn't alive after 3 days. Jesus always is, always was, and always will be. But his body is there in the grave. He has died. His body was laid in the grave. And then the Scripture says that he rose again. And the third day, they found his body there on Sunday morning early before, a great while before day, those ladies come to anoint his body. And they find the stones rolled away. That angel is sitting upon the stone. And he says, "Why seek ye Jesus of Nazareth? He is not here. He is risen from the dead, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay." And Matthew chapter 27 and 28 clearly describes Christ's death, his burial, his resurrection. And now the Scripture says that the ladies who were there in the tomb and who heard the angel say, "He is not here, but he is risen," they go to the disciples and they say, "He's alive. We just saw an angel, and the angel said, he's not here." In fact, look at Luke 24, and notice what the Bible says in verse 10. Luke 24 and verse 10. It says, "And it was Mary Magdalene," that was the one out of whom Jesus had cast 7 devils. "It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the disciples. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Now, folks, let me just pause and say something so that we can understand their perspective. They had seen Jesus raise folks from the dead. He had raised Jairus' daughter. Peter, James, and John saw this. He had raised the boy who was coming out of Nain. His casket was there, and that boy raised from the dead. He had raised Lazarus. The disciples were all there. But there's a big difference between raising someone from the dead and coming out of the grave yourself. This is far beyond the scope of human reason and possibility, far beyond our own logic or conclusions, far beyond our own common sense. It defies it all. And so when they come back from the tomb and they say, he's not there, the stone is rolled away, there was an angel seated on the stone, and the angel said, he's not here. In fact, we looked inside and he wasn't there. These disciples are scoffing. This seemed to them as an idle tale, and they believed them not. Verse number 12, then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was to come to pass. Now the scripture tells us in another account that the linen clothes were laid by themselves, and the napkin that was covering his face was folded and off to the side. I wish there was a whole week. Maybe this whole week we'll talk about the resurrection. But I wish you could just spend a whole week preaching twice a day just about the facets of the resurrection. Do you know what the linen cloth laid off by itself and folded napkin meant? It meant he was coming back. That was the significance. It had Jewish customary significance. It was very important. And Peter would recognize that. And now the scripture says that these two go to Emmaus. It's a 6.8 mile hike. That's about what the Bible means when it says 70 furlongs. Notice, please, verse 13. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem, about 70 furlongs. This would be about 7 miles. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now wait, he's already appeared to Mary in the garden. He's already appeared to Mary in the garden. Now he is going to appear to the two on the road to Emmaus. When he first appeared to Mary, she didn't recognize him. He's in a resurrected body. When he first appeared to Mary, she thought that this was the gardener. And she said, please tell me where you've taken my Lord. And he said, Mary. And she fell down at his feet and realized this was Jesus, the Son of God. Now he comes to these two on the road to Emmaus, and he does not immediately reveal himself. Notice, please, verse number 16. It says, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Jesus is hidden in plain sight. They are right now at this point very confused. And I want to talk to you about this 7 mile hike, which changes confusion to conviction. Watch what the Bible says in verse number 16. It says, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Now, he knows everything about them. He knows the end from the beginning because Jesus Christ is God. But he is going based upon the evidence that's laid before him. He says, what are you talking about that's making you so sad? You're walking along and you're sad. Well, when you're sad, there's a certain deportment that you carry. Your shoulders are stooped. Your head hangs low. The Bible tells us that they were looking down at the ground when the angel appeared to them in the garden. Their faces were bowed to the ground. They were discouraged. Jesus, their leader of 3.5 years, Jesus, the one who had taught them by the wayside and on the mount, Jesus, who had raised the dead and healed the sick and made blind eyes to see, Jesus, who had taught so many powerful truths and was fearless in the face of the Pharisees, now had been brutally murdered on a cross like a common thief and criminal. Stirred up against him was this howling mob that had just days before cried Hosanna, and now they've cried for his own crucifixion, and they've gotten it. stirred up by the Pharisees. The Romans didn't know what to do, so they thought the best thing they could do was just eliminate the threat, which was Jesus. And they're talking about all this. And he said, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? I want you to notice just a few points. Number one, I want you to notice their confusion. They're in a place of confusion. Now, let me say something. When you don't see it from every angle, and when you don't see it via the light, you will be confused. When you don't see it via the light, you will be confused. And their angle tells them that Jesus is dead, that he's been betrayed, that he's been in the grave, and now they don't even know where he's at. And the ladies say that the angels had told him he was raised, but it's likely that he was stolen away. They're confused. Verse number 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? All right, Jesus is, he's trying to draw it out of them. What things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. You know what their confusion is rooted in? Watch this. It's rooted in their lack of complete understanding of Christ. Jesus Christ is the one speaking to them. They don't see it yet. Jesus Christ is right there, and they don't understand it yet. Jesus Christ is the one engaging them in conversation, and they can't comprehend it yet. Watch now. They said, are you a stranger? They don't understand who Jesus is. He's right in front of them. And might I say, listen to me closely. Some of you in this place today are confused at some measure or another. Maybe it's confusion because of your unmet expectation. Maybe it's confusion because of misunderstanding concerning who the Lord is. Maybe it's confusion because you feel that the hope you once had is all gone and maybe completely gone. Well, watch this. Hope is closer than you think. Help is nearer than you realize. And the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 24 and verse number 19, he's asking what things? And they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, watch this, which was. Now folks, listen to me. Jesus Christ is not someone who was. Jesus Christ is. He didn't say I was. He didn't say, I will be. He said, I am. The sooner that you understand the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ and the unchanging quality of the Lord Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He wants to meet you, watch this, right here, right now. It's not Jesus who was, but that's what they're thinking is. They're thinking that Jesus died and it was over. Death was the end. Ladies and gentlemen, death is not the end. Death in the Bible is never summarized as finality. Death is always defined as separation. Death is not the end. And Jesus is just separated from his body for 3 days. And now he's alive and he's staring them face to face. And they said, concerning who? And they said, concerning Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. All right, they're recounting his betrayal, how he was betrayed in the garden by Judas and by the chief priest, and there was a transaction of blood money that took place. They're recounting that. Hey, by the way, when they woke up on Passover on Wednesday, which would be a high Sabbath, when they woke up on Passover, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was already headed to the cross. He'd already been betrayed in the night when all of his followers and the common people were sleeping. And he was betrayed and tried and falsely accused in night. And now the scripture says in Luke chapter 24 that they're recounting this, verse number 21. But we trusted. Now watch this, folks. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to say. Confusion will exist in your life when you view Jesus as someone of the past, and when you view your trust and declare your trust to be something of the past. But we trusted. that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We thought he was the one. We were looking to him to be our deliverer. Now he's dead. And now we don't even know where his body is. Hear me. Confusion will exist and flourish in your life when you view Jesus as someone of the past and when you declare your trust to be something of the past. There won't be forward motion. There won't be understanding. There won't be clarity. There will be nothing but confusion. Hey, watch, some of you in this room perhaps have never in the first place declared Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right now, currently, as your Savior. You've never called upon Him. You've never accepted His free gift of eternal life. You've never deemed His promises to be yea and amen. You've never come to Him and plunged beneath the crimson flood, which now, right now, is efficacious to save and to cleanse and to wash and to purify. You've never done it. You've seen this whole thing as just religious trapping. You've seen the Bible as wooden words. You've seen faith as just something for some weak people, but not for you, not someone with such massive, strong intellect. But watch, folks, here in Luke chapter 24, they're speaking and they're declaring their trust to be something in the past. Verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, now they're recounting the fact of his appearance to the ladies, or his absence from the tomb. Beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, he's speaking of Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Watch this. Confusion will exist in your life when you view Jesus as someone in the past, when you declare your trust to be something in the past or non-existent at all, and confusion will continue to exist in your life when you look to live by sight instead of by faith. Listen, the Bible pattern in the Scripture is this. Faith, then sight. Not sight, then faith. Faith, then sight. You need to turn it around. Hey, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What's the Bible saying? The Bible is giving us this example of sight is something that is begotten by faith. Faith begets sight. Sight doesn't beget faith. Listen to the Scripture, Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when the word of God is declared and the word of God is given, then I believe. And someone says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Here's what you should say. God said it, that settles it, I believe it. And here they're declaring that Jesus was, they're declaring their trust to be something of the past, and they're showing themselves to be living by sight. Watch verse 24. It says, but him they saw not. Wow. There's some confusion. Number two, I want you to notice not only the confusion, number two, I want you to notice the confrontation. The confrontation. Would you say that with me this morning? The confrontation. Would you say it together, please? The confrontation. Number one, there's confusion. Number two, there's a confrontation. Now, Jesus always confronts in a loving manner. Never too much, never too little. Jesus always confronts at the right time. And look at how he confronts these two. Notice what the Scripture says in verse number 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is all foretold in the Old Testament. And they still don't see who he is. Maybe it was because they just had their eyes temporarily darkened. Maybe it's because he had some kind of a hood on that shadowed his face. They couldn't quite make out who it was. Maybe it's because he disguised his voice. We don't know exactly, but they still don't see who it is. And he rebukes them. And he says, O fools and slow of heart. This is the way it was supposed to be, that Jesus would suffer these things, that he would go to the cross, that he would be betrayed, that he would die a cruel death. This was all of the Old Testament. It was all foretold by the prophets. He says, this is the way it was supposed to be. And notice what the scripture says in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Watch. This was a confrontation by the Savior. There was confusion by the saints. They didn't know exactly what to make of it all. They didn't quite understand it all. And they were in a cloud of confusion. Watch. Because they were viewing Jesus as someone that was past. By the way, they said in verse number 20, verse number 19, they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet. Hey, folks, he wasn't just a prophet. He was the prophet. He was the prophet that Moses foretold us of in Deuteronomy. He was the prophet. And now Jesus is confronting them, and he confronts their foolishness. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, an unsaved person that does not believe in God is called a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But ladies and gentlemen, a believer can become foolish by hardening their heart and refusing to accept the plain truth of Scripture. A friend of mine who's a pastor out in Hawaii has done a study on the book of Proverbs on the stranger, on the scoffer, the fool, the wise, and the simple. And he says, really, he says it's a curve. A person can be more foolish and more scoffing, or they can be more wise and more tender. And he said, it can go back and forth. It's not static. In other words, at any particular time, I could go from being wise to being foolish. And what moves me from being wise to being foolish? A slowness or a hardness of heart? A refusal to believe the plain truths of Scripture? So watch, this is powerful, what Jesus is saying. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Would you look this way for just a moment? Jesus Christ is confronting them, and he's giving them the solution to their confusion. You know what that solution is? This book. It's the Bible. I like what one preacher friend of mine says. It doesn't matter what the question is, the answer is always the same. More Bible. Whatever your question is, the answer is more Bible. The answer is not less Bible. Hear me. Some of you right now are doubting whether or not Jesus is God and whether Jesus is Savior and whether Jesus' sacrifice is enough to wash sins away. Well, the Bible clears it up. Jesus is the answer. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The answer is not less of the Scripture. It's more of the Scripture. It's not less of the Scripture and more of men's philosophy or more of men's conclusions or more of men's illustrations or more of men's stories. The answer is the Bible. He went to the Bible to clear up their confusion. You want your confusion cleared up? You open the Bible. You read the Scripture. The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The book of Proverbs chapter 6 says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. The answer to our confusion is the Scripture, plain and simple. You will get your confusion cleared up if you go to the Scripture. The reason that you're in the midst of confusion is because you've moved away from Scripture. And the reason that you will clear up your confusion is when you move back to the Scripture. That's what the Bible's teaching. Now watch what the Scripture says, Luke chapter 24. In verse number 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. I want to tell you, that is a sermon that I hope someday I get to hear. I hope he kept that on his technology hard drive and we'll get to see it when we get to heaven. Wow, I wonder what he was saying when he was on the road to Emmaus. I wonder at what mile marker they were at when they were on the road to Emmaus. I wonder if Jesus went all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15 when God Almighty said to Satan himself that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent and the seed of the serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. I wonder if he went all the way there and said, do you know that scripture? That was talking about Jesus, the Messiah. I wonder if he went to Genesis chapter number 3 when God took away their fig leaf aprons and he covered them in the animal skins from an animal that he had slain. I wonder if he took him to Genesis chapter 4 and told him about Abel, how when Abel killed a lamb, that was a picture of the coming Savior. I wonder if he took him to Genesis chapter 22 when Abraham and Isaac were there on the mount and God said, Abraham, don't touch your son. I know that you'll believe me because you've surrendered everything to me. Look yonder in the thicket. There's the ram. He said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. There he is the sacrifice. That's me. I wonder if he took him all the way to Genesis or Exodus chapter 14 and Exodus chapter 12 when the Passover lamb was slain. And he said, look, the blood was on the doorposts and on the lintel. Do you see? That's me. I wonder if he took him to the book of Leviticus and the sin offering and the burnt offering and said, that's the Messiah. That's Jesus. I wonder if he took him to the Old Testament kinsman redeemer in the book of Ruth and said, you see, that's Jesus. I wonder if he took him to the book of Psalms and described him as the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep and said, that's Jesus. I wonder if he took him to the book of Joel and told him that was the one that was pierced for Israel and said, that's Jesus. I wonder if he took him to the book of Psalms when he said in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 10, thou wilt not leave his soul into hell, but will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. And he said, do you see that? That's why he's alive. That's Jesus. I wonder if he took him to Psalm 22 when he talked about the sufferings of the Savior, or Isaiah 53 when he talked about Jesus being the one that was wounded for our transgressions and being bruised for our iniquities. I wonder if he took him to all these Old Testament passages and described in specific detail. I wonder how long that sermon was. I wonder what it was like for these two. And do you know what the scripture says? It says that their hearts burned within them as he spoke. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus was confronting, he was not confronting so that for any other reason but to get them out of their confusion. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 28. It says, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Wow. You know, Jesus wants to see if we're willing or not. You know, sometimes the reason we can't see is because we're not seeking. If we'll seek him, we'll see. And when we seek him, we'll find him if we'll search for him with all our hearts. That's what the Bible says. Hey, if you're here today and you're not saved, the Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Hear me. Your way and Christ's way are not compatible. The way of religion and the way of Christ are not compatible. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Your way will lead you to hell. Your way will lead you away from God. Your way will lead you into confusion and apathy and indifference and a fog. But Christ's way will lead you to light, and Christ's way will give you life. Amen. That's what the Bible's saying. And your way and Christ's way are not compatible. You've got to turn away from your wicked way and trust in Jesus as the only way. He has exclusive rights to the claim, and he has exclusive rights to salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way. So now in Luke chapter number 24, he's moving along, and he made as though he would go on to the next city. And they said, no, come to our house. You know what Jesus is looking for? He's looking for someone that's willing. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force himself on you or me. He's moving along as if he's going to go on. He wants to see whether they've had enough, whether they're done with this conversation, whether they'd like to reach out an invitation to him. And they said, it's nighttime. It's past night. You need to come. You need to come stay with us. And so verse number 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Watch now. He's about to reveal himself. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And in verse 31, it says, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. I want you to notice number three, the clarity. The clarity. Would you say that with me? The clarity. Watch. They had gone from confusion to being confronted by the Lord Jesus Christ, and now there's clarity. They see. You see, the Bible says they saw when he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. When he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. Listen to what the scripture says in Luke chapter number 19. No, excuse me, Luke chapter, back just a few verses and a few chapters. Here, Jesus is breaking the bread. Look at Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. By the way, that wasn't the only time that Jesus would have broken bread and blessed it. In John chapter 6, in the early part of the chapter, when he fed the 5,000, he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he distributed the bread. And when they saw that, all of a sudden, the veil was lifted, and there's clarity. This is Jesus. And instantly, he vanished. You know what Jesus did? Jesus just gave two men who were filled with confusion at time. He just gave them a sermon. He just gave them compassion. He just gave them light. Now, look, do you know why there was confusion in their hearts? Three reasons. Number one, their understanding was limited. And the sooner that you and I realize our understanding, my understanding is limited, the better off you'll be and the clearer you'll be able to see. My understanding is not unlimited. My understanding is limited. Number two, their expectation was not met. Their understanding was limited and their expectation was not met. Hey, they thought Jesus was the one. Jesus had been crucified. Jesus had been buried. They'd been 3 days huddling up with the disciples in the upper room, and they didn't know what to do. And now, when the word came that Jesus is gone, they went and they looked for him, and they couldn't find him. So what has happened to his body? Their expectation was not limited. And number three, their hope had vanished. Their hope had vanished. That's why there was confusion. And that may be why there's confusion in your life. Maybe your expectation has been crashed on the rocks of reality. And maybe your understanding is just not seeing it. You can't because your understanding is limited. And maybe the hope that you once had seems to have vanished because of some circumstance. I'm here to tell you, the Lord Jesus can clear up your confusion, but you're going to have to listen to him and you're going to have to respond to him. This is a two-way conversation. This is something where he gives you the truth and you respond. And notice what the scripture says was their response. Verse number 32. Look at it. Luke 24, 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. In other words, there was a stirring in their soul. There was a stirring within their hearts. They knew that what he was saying was true as he went to the Old Testament scriptures and explained every text that pointed to the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. And hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Would you look at me? In this last part, there's conviction. And conviction is just another way of saying convincement, or I'm convinced concerning the matter. They went from confusion, and the Lord Jesus gave them a confrontation that brought clarity, and now there is conviction. Would you say it with me? Conviction. Conviction, so that these two, along with the 11, would go to their deaths with the message that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll finish up. Notice what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15. Draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul, like a lawyer, under inspiration, clears up any confusion as to whether or not there can be a resurrection. He begins 1 Corinthians 15 and tells us about the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then he talks about those that saw him. 1 Corinthians 15 in verse number 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, that's Peter, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. So he talks about the gospel. Then he talks about those that witnessed Christ. And by the way, a few years ago, there was a governor or senator in South Carolina that was given a copy of the scriptures on audio, and he just threw it in the back seat. He said, these Christians always trying to peddle something and always trying to influence. And he forgot about it until there were some heavy, terrible circumstances in his own life, and he found these recordings of the Bible in audio. And he said, I'm going to put him in and start to listen to him. And he said, when I put Alexander Scorby in, I thought I was listening to the voice of God. Because we all know that God has a deep British bass voice. Anyway, he said he started to listen to the scriptures, and wow, it just convicted his heart. And he said, I'm a lawyer. He said he was not saved. But he said, I'm going to disprove this whole thing once and for all so I don't have to be bothered by it. So he started to lay out the evidence about Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And you know what he came to conclude? It absolutely has to be true, because there were too many witnesses to deny the fact. Over 500 witnesses in the court of law would completely turn a case on its ear, completely settle the matter for any juror. And the Bible says here in 1 Corinthians 15, then Paul begins to make a case about Christ being raised from the dead. He says in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there be no is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain? In other words, he's saying, if Christ is not risen, then your preaching is empty, it's just foolishness, and so is your faith. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, we're all found to be liars. Because we testify of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. So if Christ isn't raised from the dead, our preaching is vain, our faith is vain, we're found false witnesses, and we're still in our sins. Verse 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Watch verse number 29. He says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead if the dead rise not at all? In other words, he's saying, why would you get baptized for a dead person if Christ isn't raised? He's a dead person. Why would you get baptized for that? In verse 29, he says, why are they then baptized for the dead? And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? He said, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I die daily. He's talking about the fact that he was in jeopardy every hour. He says, if Christ is not raised, if there's no such thing as a resurrection, if this isn't true, and by the way, if the resurrection isn't true, the Bible isn't true. But because the resurrection is true, the Bible is true, and vice versa, the Bible is true, and it proves the resurrection to be true. Now, folks, listen to me. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're of all men most miserable. If Christ is not raised from the dead, why do we stand in jeopardy? This is my point. Cleopas and the other that Jesus was talking to and the disciples hazarded their lives, many of them unto the death. For a lie? For a lie? No, ladies and gentlemen, for the absolute, verifiable, undeniable truth that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And they were completely convinced. And so were the hundreds and thousands that followed after them and were saved. And so were the people that spread the gospel to northern Africa and around into the area known as Ephesus and Thessalonica and Mesopotamia. And those that spread the gospel to Italy. And those that were saved under Roman guard while Paul was being held. And those that spread the gospel up into northern Italy and across Europe, known as the Waldensians and the Albigenses and the Lollards. And those that spread the gospel to England. And those that hazarded their lives and spread the gospel to America. And those that went down on missionary journeys and went to the east, like Thomas, who went to India. Doubting Thomas became believing Thomas. Why? Because of the resurrection. He saw the Lord Jesus with his own eyes and said, "My Lord and my God." There was total conviction. You know what God wants to do? God wants to move those of you in this room that are not saved and still confused because you've never accepted the gospel to from confusion to conviction. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to take those of you that have seen the Lord, that have believed in the Lord, that have loved the Lord, that have followed the Lord, and for some reason or another have slipped into confusion. He wants to move you from confusion to conviction. Will you let him? Will you let him? Every head bowed, every eye closed.